Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me to get you ready for NFL Week 11 action is Andrew Cayley, Senior Publishing Editor for Covers.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Covers_Cayley, and that is Cayley with a C. Andrew, great to have you on the show.
Great to be back, Rob. And now officially the title has changed. I'm now Senior Betting Analyst. We've done some reshuffling. So since I don't do a whole lot of editing anymore, and now I'm doing mostly content creating. So like, well, maybe we won't call you editor anymore. But I've been just still diving into those odds like ever before. So you don't got to worry there.
Well, that is something to celebrate, as is you recently getting married. So congratulations.
Thank you very much. Happily married now, and congratulations to you on becoming a father. I'm sure that's a very exciting time as well.
Yeah, the narrative that I'm going to share with both of us is it's going to make us both better sports bettors, right?
I love it.
That's at least what I've heard. So what we're going to do today, do a quick recap of NFL Week 10, what we learned, as well as look ahead towards NFL Week 11. And in Week 10, went 1-2 with our picks. But here's the thing. I actually had a great week. I was really seeing the ball well. As I've talked about oftentimes, we record this on Wednesday at around, I don't know, anywhere between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. We don't have all of the information, but the quick recap of it. We got fortunate with the backdoor cover on the Saints. That was a win. And I think that's something where a lot of us looked at that fishy line and it came out in our favor. The two losses, the Colts up 17-0 on the Jaguars. I'm sitting there, ooh-wee, looking so smart. And then somehow they don't score any touchdowns the remaining part of the game. Jags backdoor cover that. And then the Raiders lost to the Chiefs. Raiders within 3 points in the second half, 17-14. Just didn't fall our way. But I do feel bad. And Andrew, one thing that we did not do last week was give a money line parlay. And somebody actually hit me up on Twitter being like, hey, where is it? And I said, you know what? Taking the week off from it. And I'm fortunate that we did, because we saw for the third consecutive week a major double digit favorite in the Bucks losing outright. What are your thoughts on this? Because we've seen two polar opposite years. We've seen the big favorites cashing at an unprecedented rate, and now three consecutive weeks, survivor pools and big old favorites just getting crushed.
Yeah, it's been the year of the underdog. I believe they're hitting somewhere along the lines of 57 or 58% right now. Another big week. I think 8 or 9 underdogs cashed last week, depending what line you got in that Eagles-Broncos game that obviously jumped around a little bit for landed on a pick for me. But 8 or 9, depending on the site with underdogs, again, it's been crazy, which makes me think at some point we're going to see a bit of a market correction, because these guys in Vegas, or wherever they are now, wherever their home base is, because we've got legal sports betting in so many states now, they're smart guys for the most part, and they're putting these lines up for the reason. And this is quite a drastic edge in terms of the underdog. So I think, like I said, I'd expect a market correction coming here soon.
But I was thinking about this, and do you think there's an element of a race to the middle with so many of these teams? So if we look at the division standings, AFC North and then the AFC West, and there's just like a bunch of 4-5, 5-4, 6-4 type teams, where if you were to look and in any given week, these teams are more likely to be getting points if they're on the road. And if all things being equal, these road teams, they can cover, or I guess these underdogs, they can cover, because no one seems to be reliable. And you look at a team like, and I'll actually get to this week's game, the Eagles at home laying 1.5, taking on the Saints. Good luck figuring out this Eagles team this year. It's like, oh, they're amazing when they beat the Falcons. And they're like, wait a second, they're terrible. Jalen Hurts is the worst. Now it's like, wait a second, they are good now. And it seems like the zigzag with pretty much half of the NFL.
Yeah, it's a really hard to get a read on any team. Like, you go into that another game last week with Miami on Thursday night on a short week. Maybe they cover that big spread, you think, but you never think they're going to just stomp Baltimore the way they did. And even things, even games with short spreads, like nobody expected, like maybe you picked New England to win that game against Cleveland last week, but I would be surprised if many people out there were picking them to win 45-7. It's just been a very, very difficult year to cap, I would say. And it's, as we said, it's the year of the underdog so far, but it could be, we could be seeing a shift here once, hopefully we can start to see these teams kind of really define who they are and get over some of these hiccups, like the Bills, for instance. Like, who are the Bills? Are they the best team in the AFC? Are they not the best team? If they lose to the Jaguars 1 week and then they do exactly what they're supposed to do against the Jets the next, it's made it difficult for handicappers for sure.
So I'm glad you identified that Bills game. So let's look forward to week 11. And right now, Bills 7-point favorites taking on the Colts. And right before this podcast, I even saw some 7.5s out there. And I'm hearing the narrative so much of, oh, jump on this Colts team, bad weather, running the ball, getting good, good defense, good offensive line. Bills, they're not all that. Josh Allen, is he who we thought he is, or is he back to being the regression? But there's something about it going to 7.5 that just has my spider sense say, wait a second, something just doesn't seem right here, that this team that, for all intents and purposes, I think people think this line should be more like 4 or 4.5, given where Indianapolis being a playoff team last year, now it's at 7.5. Just something doesn't smell right here to me. What do you think?
This is actually one of the games I had circled as well. And it's funny, I'm just saying here that I expect a bit of a market correction this week, but I actually like this line with the Colts as underdogs to keep that trend going. It was 7.5 for a time yesterday as well, then bounced to 7 and then bounced back to 7.5. I'm starting to see the 7.5s appear again at this point. I think that just says people are unsure how these games are going to go. It feeds exactly into that narrative we're talking about right now. Buffalo is the better team. They should win, but the Colts haven't lost a game in regulation since the start of October. That defense is getting better. They are vulnerable against the pass, but hopefully that weather can kind of mitigate that when we're back in the Colts here. The Colts do have a pretty solid run defense with guys like DeForest Buckner clogging up the middle there. And Carson Wentz has been okay. Like, as much grief as he gets, and I'm guilty of it too, he's actually played pretty well this season, and he's played smart. He hasn't turned over the ball a whole lot. And besides, of course, in that Titans game where it was disastrous for him. But other than that game, he's been pretty good at hanging on to the football in a game where I think the running will be in the forefront. I think that the underdog is the way to go, and maybe the under as well.
If there are any sportsbook operators listening or watching this right now, I would like to see them offer out a refund bet anytime Carson Wentz throws a pass with his left hand during a game, because he did that against Tennessee. And then I watched last week against Jacksonville, and it's like, you watch him not be able to stop himself from doing something that is absolutely terrible. Like, I almost envision him sitting at half court, just throwing the ball over his head, being like, whatever happens. It's like, come on, Carson Wentz. And I guess that's my trepidation with the Colts, is that I just don't trust Carson Wentz. So, Andrew, you did mention one team, the Dolphins. And if we look at the narrative, we very much like to fade teams off of big wins. And the Dolphins just had the biggest win of their season last week, beating Baltimore. So 2 hours before this podcast, I'm like, I'm ready to take the Jets. I see it's ticked up to 3.5. And then I look on the front page of ESPN, and what does it say? Joe Flacco is starting, and immediately everything that I thought about this game, I threw in the trash, and I said, this is our last opportunity potentially to bet against Joe Flacco. Throw the numbers, throw the record books in the trash. I am taking the Dolphins. I found a -3. Give me the Dolphins -3 for no other reason than I am betting against Joe Flacco. What about you?
Another game I had circled, particularly once I heard Joe Flacco is in the game. What I was reading was that the Jets are going with him, one, because Wilson isn't 100% yet again, And two, they think that Flacco and his experience will serve him well against a blitz happy Dolphins defense. That obviously that was the plan last week. They blitzed the heck out of Lamar. They're just like, we're going to blitz. We're going to make you throw the ball real quick here. And it benefited them. And the letdown spot aside, I don't see what Joe Flacco can bring to this table better than Lamar Jackson can. I really like the Dolphins in this spot as well. 3.5s are starting to pop up on the board. I can see that. So this is a go bet it now before it gets much higher. I love them at the field goal much more than that. I get a little tepid about it, but I love the Dolphins here. That defense played fantastic last week. And if Tua is obviously not healthy, that finger is not 100%. But I personally believe that there was a lot of people out there that saying that the difference between he and Jacoby Brissett is negligible at most. And I just don't see it. I think Tua is a better quarterback than those two. They can carve a better game plan with him in there. And I think they'll be successful in this game against the Jets that are kind of just like hanging on by a thread right now.
And I'm willing to live with this result no matter what happens. Just like I mentioned last week,
Fade and Joe,
Andy Duke's book, Thinking in Bets. What is your process? Ooh, Joe Flacco starting. My process says bet against that. So keeping this process side of things, Andrew, the next bet on my mind, and actually it's the first bet that I made, is the Titans taking on the Texans. Texans are 10.5 point underdogs. That number has actually gotten down to 10 in a lot of places. And I'm going to continue to fade the Titans right now. And I like the Texans better with Tyrod Taylor under center. So for me, getting more than 10 points in this instance, it's very formulaic for me. Just looking, the Titans continue to be on this run. It doesn't mean they're not going to beat the Texans, but this also fits the narrative that we've been seeing all year, where if the Texans were to win this game, you're like, how in the world did this happen? It fits that how in this world does this happen narrative, even though I don't have any faith that they're actually going to do it.
It's an iffy one for me. I might stay away from it, but if I were to take a side, I might lean towards the underdog once again, which makes me now sound a little ridiculous after saying I think the market's going to correct itself with another underdog I kind of like here. But the one thing the Titans still don't do very well at all is stop the run. I think the Texans will try to attack that suspect Titans run defense. And then Tyrod Taylor is capable of moving the ball in the play action, moving out of the pocket a bit. And I think they will do enough to keep this game close for a while. And I think the Titans also have to go against what is not an awful Houston defense. They're not great, but they're not the worst defense in the NFL either. So I think 10 points, I think this is going to be running focused football game, which will bleed the clock and make it a little better for the underdog in that spot.
The game of the week, we've got the Kansas City Chiefs at home laying 2.5 or 3, depending on what's out there. I've seen some threes, taking on the Cowboys. And Andrew, the Chiefs 0-5 against the spread at home on the season. Cowboys 4-0 against the spread on the road. Chiefs coming off a prime time win. We love fading teams off of big wins. And guess what the narrative is right now? The Chiefs are back, baby. They are the best team in the AFC. We are going to crown them like Denny Green crowns everybody. Looking at this a little bit deeper, the Chiefs on the season, just plus 21 in the point differential. The Dallas Cowboys, an NFC best, plus 89. For all of these reasons, I'm not ready to crown the Chiefs just on one game. Give me the Cowboys plus 3 minus 120. What are your thoughts?
I'm going to counter you here. I'm going to go with the Chiefs minus 2.5 at home, less than a field goal. And yeah, everybody is saying that this was all good. It was good to see the Chiefs look like their dominant selves last week, but there was still Patrick Mahomes was still doing some things that has worried me in those previous games where they weren't scoring a lot of points. He's still moving out of the pocket too early. And I understand why. It's because that offensive line has been horrible all year. He's been getting hit a lot, but it's given him some happy feet, and he's moving out of that pocket before he needs to. He's not stepping up into the pocket a lot. And when he is, it's very erratic, and he's throwing, trying, attempting more off-balance throws than I think he really needs to. And he just hasn't been super accurate on those off-balance throws. And I think he relies on that sometimes because he knows he can make these throws at time. And he's so talented that he can make some of these crazy throws at times. But I still saw that in that big win last week against the Raiders. That said, I really liked them at less than a field goal. One, the defense is looking a little better right now. Melvin Ingram coming in is a big deal. They can start creating pressure without blitzing now. And I think that'll be a problem for Dak in this game. And with that pressure, they can create some turnovers. More possessions for the Chiefs is always a good thing. And while the Cowboys are coming off a huge win themselves, they aren't that far away from almost getting shut out by the Broncos. So I don't trust them completely either. And in this spot with Casey at home, and the fact that it's less than a field goal is kind of what gets me here. If it was 3.5, I'd probably be like, I'll take the more than a field goal with the Cowboys. But less than a field goal, I'm going with the Chiefs. I think they continue to do what they need to do. They were spending too many times in those weeks, just too many weird trick plays, and they just need to get back to basics. They ran the ball a little more last week, and I think they do that again against the Cowboys as well. And I expect them to win by a field goal here.
So quick recap of where I am so far. Give me the Texans plus 10.5 taking on the Titans. Give me the Dolphins laying 3 on the road, taking on Joe Flacco. I'll also take the Cowboys getting a field goal on the road, taking on the Chiefs. And then I haven't done anything with it yet, but I'm keeping an eye on that Eagles versus Saints game, because there's something about the coaching matchup in the Saints being underdogs that I do like. I'm going to let the week unfold, but that's where my mind is. Andrew, any thoughts on anything else that you might like?
Those are my big ones there. Colts plus 7.5, Dolphins minus 3, and Chiefs minus 2.5. I know it's a little, this probably won't get out in time, but I'll probably like the Patriots on Thursday night minus 6.5 as well. If people are seeing this, the Falcons are just a mess right now. But other than that, those are what really stood out to me on the board this week.
Well, it's good to see that you support the narrative of everything regressing back to the favorites, because there's 3 or 4 favorites for you. And I'm with you on the Falcons. It made me chuckle last week when I hear all the sharp action is on the Falcons. Oh. I'm like, how dare it? Do you guys not bet on sports? Do you not know the narrative of the Falcons? Just, they are kryptonite. There is nothing that they do that I would be surprised by.
I think the sharp public narrative is something that's being really overblown in the sports betting world these days, particularly since the repeal of PASPA and it's become legalized. I think we're in a completely new world when it comes to who is a sharp and who is a public bettor. And I really think you need to take all of those numbers with who is betting who with a grain of salt these days and really try to evaluate these games while like, obviously, it's a factor you can consider, and it's not something to be completely ignored, but fade the public just because a team is getting 70% of the action isn't the be-all, end-all scenario these days anymore. I think the world, like I said, the world of sports betting has changed a lot in the last couple of years.
Completely agree. Andrew, always love jamming with you. Where can everybody connect with you?
You can find me on Twitter at @covers_Kaylee. Check me out doing social media takeovers for Covers on Thursday nights and my triple option column, which you for college football, which you should fade every week right now because I'm ice cold in the landmine field that is college football betting landscape right now. But yeah, it's still been a lot of fun either way.
And I want to hear from you. What is on your NFL Week 11 card? Do you have any thoughts on the games that we talked about? You can hit me up on Instagram or Twitter @RobCressy. Also, make sure to tag @Covers. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. The funkadelic devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rump. If you like the way the sound pumping in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.